Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the Word of Truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the Word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you for joining me again today. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe your Bible? I mean, do you believe that it's the Word of God and that it means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it? We'll get back to that in just a moment, but before I begin, I want to emphasize to you that my aim, my purpose in this broadcast is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery that was committed to the Apostle Paul, given to him by revelation. That mystery contained the gospel of your salvation. The Bible says the gospel of our salvation is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. You can be saved right now by trusting that Jesus Christ died for you. He died to pay all your sins, that all your sins are forgiven, and he can become your Lord and your Savior if you'll call upon him, asking him to save you. My aim is to make men see the mystery, and I use the Word of God to demonstrate it because I don't want you taking my word for it. The noble Bereans in Acts chapter 17 received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures to see whether the preaching that Paul gave was the truth. Are you willing to do that today? Will you search the scriptures with me? Well, that leads us back to my question from the beginning. Do you believe this Bible? You know, the Bible says in Psalm 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God said he would preserve his pure words forever. That means that you have available to you today the perfect, infallible Word of God. There are a lot of books today that call themselves Bibles, but they don't say the same thing. If you compare them verse by verse, you'll find they're very different. There are scholars today claiming that they believe the Word of God is perfect and infallible only as it existed in the original manuscripts. The problem I have with that is they've never seen the original manuscripts. Outside of the time they were written, the actual letter Paul wrote, or the actual book Moses wrote or John wrote, nobody has ever seen those books besides the ones to whom they were written. Copies were made of those, and God said he would preserve his word forever. If he did not preserve it perfectly in those copies, then God lied. If you don't think God's serious about preserving his word, I encourage you to read Psalm 138, verse 2. God said, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Do you realize the Lord magnified his word above his name? Don't you think it's important to him that people see his word in truth? If we can establish that we have the word of God, and I believe I have it right here in my hands in a 1611 King James Bible, then don't we need to believe what it says? What would be the point in studying a book that we don't believe is the perfect Word of God? You'd be wasting your time. If we believe the Bible is the perfect Word of God, my next question would be the first. Do you believe it? In order to believe it, we need to understand it. And in order to understand your Bible, God gave you a gift to help you do it. If you want to understand your Bible, you'll find the key in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you consider what Paul said, and he said things to you that he wrote down in 13 letters of your Bible, do you believe that if you consider his words, you'll have understanding in all things? Paul said in chapter 1 of that same letter, 2 Timothy, that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. In verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. If Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles, and by the way, today God is not dealing with Israel as a nation. I know that may offend some of you, but according to Hosea chapter 1, they are, lo am I, not my people. God is dealing with all men on an equal basis today. He has not set one nation above another today. So Paul, being the apostle of the Gentiles, is your apostle. And he said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He also wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean, rightly dividing the word of truth? The verse implies that if we don't study to show ourselves approved, we would be ashamed. Therefore, we need to rightly divide the word of truth through studying it in order that we not stand before the Lord for not having rightly divided the word of truth. To rightly divide means to separate out the word of truth from the rest of things contained in Scripture, identifying it for what it is. What is the word of truth? We find the definition of the word of truth in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I already mentioned to you the gospel of your salvation is the gospel of Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and raised again. That's the word of truth for you. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. So how is it that we're to rightly divide that? Well, I'm going to let you know something that not one professing Christian in 100 knows. There's more than one gospel in your Bible. I want you to notice Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul gives an account of going up to Jerusalem after 14 years in the ministry. And he meets with John and James and Peter, apostles of the Lord. He says in verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, that would be these apostles, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now let me ask you a question. If Paul was preaching the same gospel that the apostles before him were preaching, why did he need to go up to Jerusalem and communicate it unto them? He goes on to say in verse 7, after having a conference about these things, he writes, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's a Gentile, was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Circumcision would be a Jew. Did you catch that? Let me read it again. Verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. How many gospels did you count in verse 7? I'm not very smart, but I know how to count to 2. There are 2 gospels mentioned in verse 7. He goes on to say in verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, which is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision, and that would be the Jews. If you can't see a distinction in ministries and gospels, then you simply don't believe plain sixth grade English. If we are going to believe the plain English of our Bibles, then we need to rightly divide the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation that Christ gave to us through Paul, apart from the other gospels and the other truth that he gave to somebody else. Bear with me here, and I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ calls and names the 12 disciples in verses 1 through 4. And then it says in verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, if we're honest with ourselves and we believe those words mean exactly what they say, Jesus Christ told the 12 disciples not to go to Gentiles. And Paul said he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Now, if Paul is supposed to be following the commands of Jesus Christ there, he's out of the will of God. It says further in verse 6, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then they were specifically instructed to go to Israel, to the exclusion of others. And their message is found in verse 7. He says, "And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, think with me. Jesus Christ is there present with the 12 as he gives them these commandments. Whatever the kingdom of heaven was referring to could not have included the fact that he was crucified, buried, and raised again, and that he died for their sins. It would be ludicrous to suggest otherwise. He's standing there alive before them. How could he be telling them to preach that he died for their sins when he hasn't even died yet? He says in Matthew 24 that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Then I know the gospel he's having the 12 preach to Israel is called the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom concerns a kingdom for Israel. You'll find the truth of that in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19 is Moses on Mount Sinai, and the Lord gave him commandments. And he says in verse 3, "Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Beloved, words mean things. They have to mean something. We cannot take words and change them out of their meanings and twist them around to say something other than what they say. It is clear in the passage that God told Moses to tell Israel that they would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This promise was to them, not to you Gentiles, not to me. I cannot take what was given to somebody else and claim it as my own. As we listen to the song, think about how men today, preachers in pulpits, twist the word of God around. They spiritualize passages to try to make them say something other than what it plainly says to those that will simply believe the Bible.
Consider what I say, Paul said, God will give you understanding. Brothers, today I've been led the wrong way. They're in need of reprimanding. He's been up teachers with tell excellent things are approved. Men can twist scripture every which way and make it say what they want it to say. They spiritual lies and tell spiritual lies. They can't see the truth because they don't have spiritual eyes. They spiritual lies and tell spiritual lies.
Jesus Christ said to the 12 in Matthew chapter 10, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he meant exactly what he said. He was fulfilling that prophecy concerning them being a kingdom. He's the king. He's offering the kingdom to an Israel that has fallen away from the Lord. And he's calling them unto himself to believe on him. Compare that with Paul. Back in 2 Timothy, remember we read in chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." He goes on to say in verse 8, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Paul wasn't a believer in Jesus Christ before the 12, but he calls it my gospel. I don't believe that should be taken lightly. Paul meant what he said. He's talking about his gospel that he received not as fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus Christ said, "I came to fulfill the law." He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He is the prophesied Messiah to Israel. But Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Something that is revealed must have been kept secret. It's interesting that Paul says in verse 6 of the same chapter in Galatians, chapter 1, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And yet people deny there is any other gospel than one. He says in verse 7, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Then there is something out there that is another gospel, but a perverted gospel, a perverted version of the gospel of Christ. To deny that is to put yourself in jeopardy to be deceived by it. For there are those who preach another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And Paul goes on to say in verse 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Well, the 12 preached the gospel of the kingdom. Paul preached the gospel of Christ. The 12 preached the good news to Israel, the circumcision, concerning prophecy, a kingdom. Paul preached the good news to Gentiles on the basis of revelation of a mystery. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And what is that mystery? Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. How in the name of all that's true could the gospel that allowed these Gentiles to be fellow heirs and partakers be the message which Christ commanded the 12 not to preach to the Gentiles? Paul said it was a mystery. Paul said it was given him by revelation of Jesus Christ. He received it not of men. He didn't learn it from Peter, James, and John. On the contrary, he went up by revelation and communicated it unto Peter, James, and John. And we saw in Galatians chapter 2 that they acknowledged his gospel, they gave him the right hands of fellowship, but agreed that he should go to the heathen, and they would go to the circumcision. Why would they say that? Were they out of the will of God? Was God trying to get them to see they're supposed to preach the gospel to the Gentiles too? Not so. In Matthew chapter 15, under the program of the gospel of the kingdom, I want you to look with me and see what happens, and let's just believe our Bible. In verse 21, it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, cities outside of Israel. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now understand something. She's a woman of Canaan. If you'll match the parallel chapter of Mark 7, you'll find she's also called a Syrophoenician by nation and a Greek. Then there's three descriptions of this woman in the same account. And if I put them together, I understand that she is of Canaanitic origin. She is from Syria, Syrophoenicia, and she's Greek by language or culture. No matter how you divide those up and slice it, she is not a Jew. She's a Gentile. So she calls to him, knows who he is, says, thou son of David, and begs him to heal her daughter who's vexed with the devil. And look at the Lord Jesus Christ's gentle kindness to her. Look now, this man that supposedly is preaching the same gospel to all men says in verse 23, but he answered her not a word. Now you have a hard time swallowing that if you don't believe your Bible. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Well, they were a lot of help, weren't they? They showed great compassion. Lord, could you get rid of her? She's bothering us. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. This woman knows who he is. She worshipped him. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet, and that means fitting or proper. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Do you understand that Jesus Christ just called a Gentile woman a dog? And said that the truth I have, the gospel of the kingdom, is the children's bread. The children are Israel. And this woman did not argue with him. In verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord. She agreed with him. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. This woman recognizes that Israel is her master. She acknowledged that she's a dog, but she placed herself inside the covenants of promise. That is, It was always true that a Gentile or anyone who feared God and blessed the nation Israel, blessed the seed of Abraham, according to Genesis 12, could be a partaker of Israel's blessings, Israel's kingdom, as a servant in that kingdom. And this woman demonstrates she understands that. She demonstrates she realizes the truth of Isaiah 59 and 60 and 61, that in order for her to get any blessings from God, she can have them, but they've got to come through Israel. Verse 28 says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." That woman understood the prophecy concerning Messiah. But Paul was given a mystery. Men try to take words, such as this passage we just read, and spiritualize it. Oh, this is a demonstration of her great persistence. No, it isn't. It's a demonstration of the truth of God concerning the promises and the prophecies and the fact that this gospel Jesus Christ preached was for Israel. He gave your gospel to Paul, your apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles. I beg you to consider the truth of this. There are so many scriptures we can compare in the coming weeks. Under the kingdom program, you had to endure to the end to be saved. Under Paul's gospel, we've already been saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached the blood of Christ. Peter and the 12 preached water baptism for repentance. All of these things need to be compared and rightly divided. I pray that you will let these thoughts sink into your heart as you study the Word of God prayerfully and ask yourself, do you really believe this book means what it says? You've been listening to Believing the Bible. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at 17 Cherry Hill, Sabine, Texas, 78155. If you'd like more information, you can call me at 830-305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.